Psalm 45 again this morning, gentlemen. Psalm number 45 again this morning. And we're going to begin reading again this morning in verse number 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and alloys and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. For he is thy God, and worship thou him. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the privilege of being in Sunday school. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence and for visitors in the house of God today. I thank You, my Father, for grace that You've given to save old wretched sinners, delivering us, Lord, from the very bonds of iniquity, translating us into the kingdom of God, and granting us, Lord, the privilege of spending eternity with such a glorious person as Thee. I pray that You will have Your divine will and way in every heart this morning. Give us liberty. May the Word of God be magnified. May Jesus' name be lifted up in our midst. May sinners be converted and our Lord Jesus glorified. We'll thank You for all that is said and done. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name and for His sake, amen and amen. Gentlemen, look at verse number 11 this morning. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. I'd intended this morning to continue our thought this week, fellas, on our Lord's anointing with the oil of gladness. But I'll tell you, I struggled with that thing. I have struggled with that thing throughout the entire day on yesterday. And I just was not really able to get my heart settled along the truths that I wanted to draw our attention to on that matter. And so I tell you, what I really want to do today is bring you a thought on bow down and adore Him. Bow down and adore Him. Notice now in verse number 11 that He is our Lord. Therefore, we are to bow down and to worship Him. May I say to you that that is the ground and the reason for worship, is that He is our Lord. He is our ruler. He is our master. He is, as Mary said in the garden, Rabboni. He is our master and our ruler. And I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. We worship Him because He is God. The Bible said that ye shall have no other gods before you. He said, you shall not make any graven images and bow down unto them. And, you know, this is a hobby horse of mine. It is a pet peeve of mine. I can't help it. It just is. But we're seeing man worship in America today. Men are worshiping the creature more than they are the Creator, who Paul said is blessed forevermore. Amen and amen. Now, and I don't want to stay on a hobby horse, but I'm telling you that sports figures in America today are the key figures of man's worship and adoration. I tell you, friend, it's a sad day when men will worship Hollywood film stars and neglect the glorious person of the Son of God. And I know what young men think. They worship the young ladies of Hollywood. Well, they say, preacher, look at the body, look at the figure, look at the beauty. It'll all, my friend, someday will fade away. That beautiful little lady that is being worshipped by young men today will one day get gray hair, her teeth will fall out, her lips will sink back into her mouth, her face will become wrinkled, her belly will get fat, her legs will get flabby, her beauty will fade away, and then, my friend, who are you going to worship? I'm glad, thank God, that I'm serving a Lord whose glory shall never, my friend, fade away. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Because He is altogether the lovely one. And we ought to worship Him in the beauty, gentlemen, of holiness. He is the Lord. Worship thou Him. I'm telling you that Christ Jesus demands our worship of Him today. God help us this morning. Already spit on my new suit. God help us. That's right. Amen. We ought to worship Him today. Bow down and worship Him. May I say to you, by way of introduction this morning, that our Lord, my friend, that our Lord never did refuse the worship of men while He sojourned upon this earth. Not one time. And by the way, I don't have time to go into all the Scripture and point out to you where Jesus was worshipped in the Word of God. But I will say this, that in the book of Matthew, the word worship is mentioned, and He is worshipped more frequently in the book of Matthew than in any other New Testament book. And somebody said, what's significant of that, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. I want to tell you, Matthew presents Him as the King of Israel. He is the King. It is no wonder that Psalm 45 that deals with the majesty and the glories of the King of Kings, my friend, would have one little verse set aside in it that commands, or rather demands, your and my worship of Him. For He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore, brethren, bow down and worship Him today. Boy, I'll tell you, if we could ever get a hold of that. Did you know that creatures were created, my friend, to worship God? And you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy. You'll never be blessed until you learn that happiness and satisfaction is found in humbling yourself and worshiping God Almighty. Right. Now, throughout the Word of God, there's occasion where men worshiped Him and women. You know, I heard a preacher say here a while back, on our radio station, he said that women ought to be silenced in the church. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's a whole lot of Scripture that would prove that women also are to worship God. Amen. That's right. And I read in Mark chapter number 14, where Mary of Bethany, she came into the house of Simon the leper, and Mary broke that alabaster box and anointed our Lord. She poured it upon his head and began to worship our Lord. There were some there that began to mock and to reproach her, condemning her because the alabaster box of ointment could have been sold for so much and have given to the poor. And they began to try to reproach her for her worship of God. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying there will be men that will try to hinder our worship of the Lord. That's right. I'm telling you, old cold-hearted, egg-sucking, mossy-backed, that's right, reprobate heathen that don't know God. That's right. If they can, they'll come to the church house and mock you and reproach you and call you a religious fanatic and an idiot just because you worship God. I'm telling you, my friend, I intend to worship Him. If it her lips the devil, amen to God, dries up every oil well in Texas, amen, I'm going to keep on worshiping the Lord. I'll never forget, and I told you this several years ago when I was in Bible college. Harold Sattler got up preaching one night, and every year, about September, the Bob Jones University boys, many of them would get on the bus and make their way to Tabernacle and sit in the balcony, and they came for no other reason than to watch the sideshow. See, I'm talking about those men would worship God, brethren. They praised Him and worshiped Him and had a time in God. Well, those Bob Jones University, they're straight-laced and dignified. They don't believe anybody ought to be irreverent in the house of God. Don't say amen. Don't lift up your hand. Don't sing too loud. Don't praise God. Don't thank Him for nothing. Don't testify. Don't do anything but sit there and listen to about a little 30-minute, dried-up, stinking a message from some reprobate that calls himself a preacher and go on to the house and live your dignified life. But I'm here today. Old Harold Sattler looked at that crowd one night and he said, "Men, I'm glad you're here to hear the gospel. But," he said, "if you've come to mock old-time religion, if you've come to look at a sideshow and make fun and poke fun of what's going on at Tabernacle," he said, "you just might as well hit the door and said, by the way, it pushes open and don't let it smack you in the rear end on the way out of here." Everybody said, "Brother Hall, you oughtn't to say that." I'm going to tell you something, friend. That is exactly what the Lord said to that crowd in Mark 14 that mocked and reproached Mary of Bethany because she worshiped God. Somebody said, "Where do you get that?" I'm glad you asked. In verse number 6, Jesus said, "Let her alone." They said, "What are you doing? Wasting that ointment." Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's done what she could do." Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not agree with Brother Hall. You may not enjoy my pulpiteering and my excitement and my zeal for God. You may not enjoy it when I get in the pulpit and shout or run that aisle or run the pews or praise God or fall on my face and worship God. But I tell you the same thing Jesus told that crowd. Let me alone. Leave me alone. I'm going to worship God, brethren. Leave me alone. That's right. There'll be some that'll try to dry you up and hinder your worship of God. I know that's right. Now look here. I want you to notice what the Bible said. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you may... you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burial." I want you to get a hold of that, gentlemen. She has done what she could, and she come aforetime to anoint my body for burial. If I understand that correctly, Jesus is telling that crowd, she is worshiping me while I'm yet alive. There's coming a day when I'm going to the grave and I'll be crucified and buried. But before that day comes, she has done what she could. She is going to worship me while I am alive. Now, bring me to this point. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you liking that to today?" Buddy, I'm glad you asked that too. Gentlemen, if you're awake to worship God till you get to heaven, you may miss the boat. You better do what you can now. I'm very confident of this. If you will not worship Him now, you may be deprived of the privilege of worshiping Him on the other side. You better worship Him now. That's exactly what that girl does. She said, there's coming a day when I'm going to die and be buried, and I'm going to be taken from your midst. And you let her alone because she's done what she could. She has come and anointed me and has worshipped me before my burial takes place. She's worshiping me while I'm alive. In other words, while she has a chance, while she has an opportunity. Brethren, it is a glorious opportunity and a privilege to worship God. Look here, there's men that will pay hundreds of dollars, brethren, or still would, pay hundreds of dollars to go to Chicago and watch one man, he's retired, dribble a basketball down a ball court, just so they can get one glimpse of that man and watch one slam dunk from that man, and when he does, they're going to jump up and scream and clap and applaud, and they're going to worship that man. They'd say, "What a privilege I had today to see Michael Jordan." I'm telling you, my friend, a greater than Michael Jordan is here, hallelujah to God. And we've got a privilege every time we come together of worshiping our Lord that walks in our midst, walks down the aisles, and struts off Himself, shows us His glory, and grants us the gracious privilege of worshiping Him. My goodness. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I'm trying to. I want you to notice something else Jesus told her. Jesus said, "And wherever this gospel is preached, what she's done will come up as a memorial for her." In other words, Jesus said, that girl's going to be remembered. By the way, gentlemen, 2,000 years ago she did it, and she's being remembered today. What she done is still being remembered. Now get a hold of it now. There's not much said about the life she lived. There ain't a thing said about how holy she was. There is a lot said about how much of a sinner she was. Because in one scripture, Simon the leper said, if he was a prophet, he would have known what kind of a woman that is that touched him. I'm telling you, my friend, she was a prostitute. But she's not remembered for being a prostitute. She's being remembered because as a saved prostitute, she learned to worship God. Now I want to ask you this. She's being remembered for worshiping God. I want to ask you something. What will your family remember you for, brethren, when you're old? What will your children, when you're old, remember you for? Well, I remember old daddy was a drunk. Oh, I remember my daddy was a man of the nightlife. I remember my daddy was a whoremonger. Runs every whore to get a hold to. I'm going to tell you what I want my kids to remember. I want them to remember Daddy as being lifted up out of the quagmires of sin and filth and nasty and ungodliness and by the grace of God, having been bathed in the blood of the precious Lamb of God, and granted the glorious opportunity to anoint His head with the oil of worship and worship at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my kids say, you remember that day Daddy cut that shine down there at the church? You remember that day he jumped out on the communion table and danced in the Holy Ghost? How my three kids and my grandchildren gather around the first Christmas I'm gone. That's exactly, friend, what I wanted. But you remember old Daddy, how he carried on down there that night, the house of God, worship God. Huh? Gentlemen, I'm telling you, we got our priorities wrong. Huh? If you was to ask a little bitty baby, a little child that goes to church on a regular basis, and ask them, say, what do you remember about David? They'd say, he slew a giant. But if you was to ask most Baptists what they remember about David, they'd say, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But if you ask God what he thinks about David, he'd say, oh, he was a man after God's own heart. Well, tell me some occasion about him that's in the mind of God. God might say, oh, I remember the day when he brought up the ark. And rejoice, brethren, in the presence of God, and got in such a holy gear that he got in a holy dance and began to worship and praise God. Oh, he is Lord. Therefore, worship him. Somebody said, oh, some of these new fellas in here may think I'm an idiot, but I don't really care what they think. Hallelujah to God. I believe we are. Now, her worship was remembered. And I've said in the book of Matthew, there's more occasions of his being worshipped than any other New Testament book. And in Matthew, it's because in Matthew he's revealed as the King. The same in Psalm number 45. Worship him. May I say to you that Mary worshipped him, gentlemen, in Matthew 28:9, falling at his feet after he was resurrected. She fell at the feet of Jesus and worshipped him. Amen to God. May I say that his disciples worshipped him in the mount just prior now. Just prior to his ascension back to God, when he appeared to them in the mount, the Bible said, and they worshiped him, but like some of you today, some doubted. Well, I just don't know if Paul's right. Huh? I'm going to tell you something, fellas. You learn to come down to church house and get loose. I'm talking about get loose. Just wring yourself out. One time. I'm talking about get in a holy gear and just get loose one time. Wouldn't it be something to get loose and worship God and be sitting at the house and hear your children back in the back room talking to Mama and say, Mama, didn't know Daddy really show out down there today over God. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that's all in your emotion. A whole lot of it is. Because I do get excited, gentlemen, about God.
Amen.
How can you not get excited, brethren, about the glorious sovereignty and power of God? I'm talking about, my friend, getting excited about the ruler of the universe. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you why some men don't worship him. They've never seen his greatness, and their feebleness. They've never seen how great he is and how pitiful we are. Woo! How great he is. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. He is weak. He is, I'm weak, but he is strong. Hallelujah to God. Glorious. Marvelous. All powerful. Gentlemen, may I say that he is a being that is all powerful.
He is a being. Get these big words. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is God.
Gentlemen, all, at the utterance of his lips, he can dry up rivers. He can part oceans and seas. He can cause the walls of cities to fall down flat. He can open up heaven and bring food out to each of the fool. He can speak, and he did speak, and the worlds that we see became what they are today. Hallelujah to God. He said, let there be light, and two great lights appeared in the sky. And he separated the two and called one day and one darkness. I'm telling you, friend, we've got a glorious God, and he is Lord. Therefore, worship him. Worship him. Amen to God. Now I want to say two or three things that I've not said already, I hope. Hope I ain't said them already. But I might have said them. If I did, I'll just say them again. Hallelujah to God. I want to say there are some internal principles, gentlemen, of worship. Internal principles of worship. In other words, there are some things demanded. There are some things that are necessary, that are absolutely imperative for worship. You can't worship without them. Did you hear what I said? You cannot worship without them. When Moses was describing in Exodus chapter number 30, the order of worship and the sprinkling of the anointing oil, the sprinkling of the anointing oil upon the altar, upon the items or the furniture that was to be placed in the tabernacle, and even the sprinkling of that oil, my friend, upon those worshipers, or as a lot of the old timers called it, the comers. In fact, Paul in the book of Hebrews calls people that worship comers. They're coming to God to worship God. And the Bible said if you're going to worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God said, let all flesh come and worship before me. I feel God in my heart, brethren. Them two old egg suckers come Tuesday night and sit back there and talked all night long. I couldn't concentrate, couldn't preach. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I started to say something to them people, but I was afraid that you'd say something to me about it and get upset about it. Brethren, you listen to me. Anytime somebody comes in our church service and disrupts our church service, I will think very highly of you men if about three of you would grab them by the seat of the pants and nape of the neck and politely throw them out the door.
Amen.
That's right. Come in here and sit and bump our gums and rattle and talk backward and carry on like a bunch of heathens. Don't know anything about God. But look here. When Moses was describing, gentlemen, that anointing oil that was to be sprinkled upon the comers that come to worship there in chapter number 30, I say the first thing that is needed for worship internally is a spiritual anointing. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I'm simply saying that you must, gentlemen, be converted in order to worship God. A lost man can go through the motion, but he cannot bring his spirit and soul into contact with God and worship God in spirit and in truth. There must be a spiritual anointing. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this. If you're in Exodus 30, you're in Exodus number 30. Look, gentlemen, and I'll try to hurry through these. I want to get done and preach this morning and come back tonight if God will let us. In chapter 30 and verse number 32, he said, upon man's flesh shall it not
upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy. It shall be holy unto you. Upon men's flesh shall you not pour it. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? We cannot, brethren, worship God in the flesh. Worship is a spiritual thing. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, but you just said talk about praising God and running out. Oh, yeah, but this flesh, my friend, is just the automobile that carries this spirit of mine and allows it to worship. Amen. You get my flesh hooked up to my spirit and the spirit overpowering the flesh. I'm telling you, I'm subject to that just like a drunk man. Hallelujah, God.
Amen.
You know why men get drunk? I'm going to tell you why men get drunk. Because they like the effects while they're drunk. They don't enjoy the headache that follows. Oh, God, I'm hurting. But they sure like it. Now, come on, fellas. You know good and well, most of you in here ain't nothing but been a bunch of old saved drunks. And you know how tough you was when you got drunk? You was tough. You was rough and tough and hard to bluff. And you always, when man gets drunk, he always thinks he's God's gift to women. And by the way, always think the woman is the most beautiful thing in the world until they wake up the next morning and find out she's uglier than a mud fence. But what I'm saying, brethren, is getting drunk, a man just don't care what he does. Yes, hey, look here. That's why I know some of you have never been drunk on God. Because you are scared to death of what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you, I'm just about to get to the point right now. I don't give a ragtag flip. Amen. I could just about swing from these ceiling fans with my false teeth and wouldn't bother me a bit.
Amen.
That's right. You cannot worship God in the flesh. Moses said, don't put one drop of that oil on man's flesh. It won't work. I want to say number two about that oil. Are y'all there? You in chapter number 30? Hang with me now. Second thing about that oil. Notice what it says in verse number 32 again. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other after the composition of it. It's holy. It cannot be substituted, gentlemen. You cannot substitute for it. I've heard some men try to worship God and they're as hollow as a drum. I'm going to tell you why they're hollow as a drum. Ain't no oil there. I've heard some men shout and there wasn't no oil in the shout. Yeah, amen. I've seen some men run and try to praise God and there wasn't no oil in the run. Wasn't no oil in the praise. I've heard some men get up and preach, and they twerk no oil in the preaching, gentlemen. My wife heard somebody preaching the other day on tape or something. She said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, that sounds as hollow to me as a drum.
Amen.
Fellas, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you think that God don't know the difference between the real and the wrong and the false? You see, true worship, brethren, kind of like we was talking about in the office, it's got to come from the attitude of the heart.
Amen.
Somebody asked me, said in the office, said, do you think a man can get saved without prayer? Do I put salvation in a prayer? I'm telling you, gentlemen, salvation is in the attitude of a man's heart.
Amen.
It's not in what you say.
Amen.
It's the attitude of that heart toward a thrice holy God.
Yes.
I'm not saying a man don't have to pray. But if you're depending on a prayer you prayed to get you into heaven, friend, you may not have a whole lot.
Amen.
Huh? When Jesus walked by Peter at the Sea of Galilee and said, Peter, you and James and John, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. They just dropped their nets and took off. They ain't a word recorded about where they prayed. They didn't say a word. They just followed God. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. That's salvation, following God. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, how can that be? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, gentlemen. Salvation is following God.
Somebody said, well, I got my profession. I wouldn't give you 2 cents if I used booger for your little profession. Nor 90,000 other professions.
Amen.
Amen. No substitutes. Gentlemen, I want to mention one more thing. Look at verse number 38 in that chapter. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his people. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, hey. He said, don't you make that anointing oil just to smell it. Are y'all with me, fellas? Am I in the Bible or am I not in the Bible? Don't you make it. Don't you make it just to smell it. Hey, look here. It was blended spices. And I don't have time to go into all those blended spices. They were, I don't know how pronounced that were. Galbanum and onyxia and statue, whatever these were. They were sweet spices, pure frankincense. And by the way, frankincense in the Bible is made as something made up of other things, put all together. Amen. I don't have time, like I said, I don't have time to go into all that. But look here. He said, don't you make it to smell it. In other words, friend, that smelling was just an outward form of worship that just made it a pleasure to the natural man. Look here. Worship, gentlemen, is not something that is just becomes a pleasure to the natural man. I do not come to church, Brother Jerry, and worship God just so I might please my natural man and go home and say, oh boy, didn't I worship God today? You better hear me well, gentlemen, that worship is a necessary nutrient for the soul of a saved man. It is like vitamins to the body. You've got to have it for the spirit if you're saved by the grace of God.
Boy, it got out of bank that office last night. This. Yeah, preacher didn't preach. Son, I run till I couldn't run no more. Well, I hope it was in God.
Amen.
But if you just run to smell it. I didn't read where Mary Bethany run one lick. In matter of fact, gentlemen, I can't even read where she shouted. I can't read what she sang. Somebody said, Brother Hallway said, I just told you, brethren, it is an attitude of the heart of man. It is an attitude of the heart of man. It's exactly what it is. And that's right. Now I'm here to tell you, you cannot, you do not try to worship God as a mere pleasure of the flesh. I mean just to work something up, to stir up some kind of excitement in the church.
I remember several years ago when we was at a camp meeting in Sturgis. And there's a shouting and a going on over there. And one boy run up, they took the flowers. They took the flowers off the communion table. And was chewing on them. And about this one boy had flying here just a chewing on that flower. And I'm going to tell you, I had a lot of respect now for the Burns, Brother and Sister Burns. And I'll never forget, if you can ask my wife, me and my wife were sitting right behind Brother and Mrs. Burns. And Mrs. Burns sitting there and she said, God have mercy. She said, somebody will be called in question for this kind of stuff today at the judgment seat. She looked over at her husband. What was his name? W.W. She said, W.W. She said, I've seen the real and I've seen the false. And she said, God's not in what's going on in here tonight. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why God wasn't in it. Because the next morning, some of the men said, praise God. You see me last night? I was chewing on a fly. Well, what's that make you, friend? Because you chewed on a fly. I heard one guy say, did you see old what's his name? Son, one of them guys took off running down the aisle, come back up, run down the pews, headed back up and straddled the thing up here and fell down on it in his crop down on his thing, got off of it, hobbled back up, stood up in the pew and said, I bet you don't think that hurt, but that didn't hurt me.
I'll guarantee it didn't hurt me. It might have made a little girl out of me, but it didn't hurt.
I'm telling you, and men, some men, tell to
at the church house so the next day they might brag about what they've done Sunday morning at the house of God. But I'm telling you something, gentlemen. I got up this morning. I took my one source multivitamin. I took vitamin A. I took vitamin C. I took vitamin E. I took vitamin B12. I took my ginseng and I took my bugle weed or mother weed or whatever it is. But I took them because they're necessary nutrients for my body. And I worship God because it is a necessary nutrient for my spiritual man. Are y'all listening now? My goodness, time's gone. I'm going to say not only is there spiritual anointing an internal principle, but superlative love. You're not going to worship God if you don't love Him in a superlative degree. For thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your heart, mind, and strength. Every ounce of your moral fiber and spiritual being, you've got to love Him, brother, to worship God. That is right. Somebody said, now, brother, what if I'm talking about, hey, gratitude for past mercies and delight in His divine goodness. I wrote this down. The reason some can't worship, they are still trying to pay the Lord for His favor. Gentlemen, stop trying to pay Him and worship Him. Amen, amen to God. Look here. I'm going to tell you why some men say, I know what I'll do. God saved me. So now what I'll do, I'll put on long breeches and I think every man ought to have it. And I'll please God. Oh, I'm going to get my hair cut. And I'm going to please God. And then God will honor me. I'm going to throw out all my wife's culottes and short shorts and throw out. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to, and I'm not trying to fuss, but I told Brother Luton yesterday, and he told me about the churches up in Indiana that they put them little white buns on their head because they think that makes them righteous. I'm here to tell you that what you do will never make you righteous in the eyes of God. Gentlemen, that is a work salvation. You're justified by your works. And if that's the case, like Paul said, you are fallen from grace. Quit trying to work and please God and realize that you're a scumbag that ought to be in hell with your neck broke. You're not fit for man, nor beast, nor God. You're not even fit to be scattered out on the earth and made fertilizer out of it. But we will worship Him when we see His greatness and our littleness. And if I know anything about the Bible, Benny, that's called humility. How great thou art, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the things thy hands have made. O gentlemen, how's that rest of that go? Da-dee-da-da. I hear the rolling thunder, something another than I proclaim. My God, how great thou art. Listen here. Then when you think of how great God is, what did the songwriter had it? He said, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how little I am. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. When I think God, as great and glorious as He is, look down in mercy on a little old insignificant nobody.
I don't know about you, Brother Luton, but I was going to hell. I was going to hell and ought to be there. That's why I worship God in His greatness and His power. He rebuked sin, rebuked Satan, rebuked society, lifted me out of this world, and translated me into the kingdom of His Son. Therefore, because He's Lord, worship Him. What a God. Hallelujah. Hey, gentlemen, we're talking about superlative love. The prostitute in Luke 7 in the house of Simon was forgiven of much. She loved much. That's what Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, much will they love much. She worshiped. You know what Simon done? If he knew who that was touching her. Yeah, prophet. Oh, Steve Pleasant, come in here to church. Now I want y'all to hear me. Go cut this off. I want to say there'll be a submissive heart. That's another intern. Hey, no rebel will. Excuse me, a deep humiliation. Turn me back on. That deep humiliation which implies self-displacement and abhorrence. The thought of God, the recollection that we are in His presence will prostrate and humble us if we worship Him aright. He's glorious, gentlemen. And when I come into His presence, God allowed Isaiah in Isaiah 6 to come into His presence. You know what Isaiah said? He said, speak, Isaiah. And Isaiah said, talk, Isaiah. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people who are undone and unclean. When he saw the doorpost shaking and the seraphim, the two wings they covered their feet, typifying service, with two wings they covered their face, signifying humility for His holiness. Amen. And with two wings they flew. As they flew, brethren, they cried, holy, holy in three ways, Lord God Almighty. In the book of Daniel, when God come to Daniel and laid His right hand upon Daniel's shoulder, the Bible said, and all my strength was gone, and I fell at His feet as a dead man. I'm telling you, gentlemen, oh, I long for the day when God will come in such power and force into our churches that men will fall on their face as dead men. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, it won't ever happen. I'm telling you, my friend, if He ever comes in time. You ain't going to tell me somebody is glorious, great, powerful. I mean, all He's got to do, gentlemen, with one look is look at you and melt you that quick. What is flesh, temporal flesh, when you compare it to eternal spirit? I'm going to tell you something. You can't compare it. What can God, brethren, be compared to? How can you compare God to anybody or anything? Can't. Then I want to say there's some external manifestations. Closet prayer, church praise, and a consecrated people are all manifestations of our worship to God. You see, brethren, you cannot come into His presence and worship without being
being made holy. And by the way, I don't have time to go into this, but in Psalm number 45, verse number 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is wrought gold. Look up here, fellas. That is holiness within and righteousness without. If I know anything about the Bible, that is consecration within and sanctification without. That's who's going to worship. Are you hearing me? Those who have been made clean in the heart and have separated themselves from the world, sanctified themselves, they dress right, they look right, they act right, they have the right kind of conduct, they are the people that will worship God, and it'll be manifest. This crowd, bless God, the chewing long green to bad, like that stupid idiot over in Muhlenberg County or Ohio County. Now, I like to cuss just so my people like Pastor will know I'm a human. I know he's a human without hearing the egg sucker cuss. That's stupid. Listen here. Wherever there is true worship, there is a great fundamental truth of religion are proclaimed through the world. I'm reading something. Now listen to me. When the church abounds in holiness, she shall know no lack of homage from the surrounding people. Her glory shall them... I can't even read my own writing. It shall impress and attract the heathen around till they also unite in doing honor unto the Lord. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? Charles Spurgeon said, the power of missions abroad is holiness at home.
Amen.
Now, the church must reverence Jesus and bow before Him in prostrate adoration. His tender union with her gives her liberty, but not a license. You've got liberty, gentlemen, but not a license to sin.
Amen.
It frees her from all burdens, but places her His easy yoke upon her neck. And I close with this. And she shall worship Him.
Amen.
His people, His church, shall worship Him. Father, thank You for the Sunday school hour. Bless the preaching to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.